I became a Christian when I was 10, about the age of some of the young folks that you have seen there, and I was pretty much wet wood on fire for God. More smoke than light in my spiritual life for a long time. Kind of a slow learner, but by the time I was sort of a late teen and kind of making that transition slowly to young adulthood, it dawned on me how spiritually blessed I was because of Jesus Christ. I began to realize that Jesus Christ had made me right with a holy God. I began to realize that I was living under His care by grace. There was nothing I could do to make God love me more. There's nothing I could do that would make God love me less. I realized that I had at least bits of the Word of God, the Bible, in my mind at that point. I had the Spirit of God in my life. I had the people of God all around me. I had heaven before me should I die. I was immensely, spiritually blessed. About that same time, I began to realize that I was blessed economically. Throughout my whole youth growing up, my dad had a steady job. We lived in a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house. We had medical care. We had dental care. Last service, I said we had mental care, which maybe would have been a good thing. We always had a car. There were times we had 2 cars. And I went to school every year from age 5 to age 18 for free. I was supremely blessed, even economically. And about the time I was becoming a young adult, I began to wonder why. Why am I so blessed? So one of the things I did is I began to check out the Bible. I looked to the Bible for answers. In fact, I read what may be the Bible's most famous verse. It's John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved," if we can see that on the screen, guys, "that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God loves me. People told me that. My grandmother told me that, who led me to the Lord. I mean, I knew that. Just look at the circumstances of my life. God loved my family. God loved my country. God loves the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's why they win so many Super Bowls. Look at the pleasant circumstances of my life. God must love me. Now, all of that is true. But that is not what that verse says. What that verse says is, "For God so loved the world." The Greek behind the word "world" is cosmos. It refers to the whole world order. It can be translated in some contexts as the system or the whole arrangement. It means God so loved the world, all of it, that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever, not just me, but anybody who believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. God loves you, but God also loves this messed up world with all of its tragedy, with all of its injustice, with all of its pain, with all of its disappointment, with its brutality and its beauty. God loves it. The hymn writer was right when he said, "This is my Father's world." And what a world it is. So it began to make some sense in me. Maybe God had so blessed me spiritually and economically that I could be part of God blessing this world. Maybe God had brought me to faith through Christ and gave me all that I truly need so that maybe, I would have a shot at someday being a guy who could live for others. What about you? Friends, we're in a sermon series on our Sunrise vision. It's to follow Jesus Christ, to become, to belong, and to bless. Becoming is all about who we become as Jesus sanctifies us. We've been justified by grace through Christ. But Jesus is working in us to free us from sin, to transform us from the inside out. We have a role in that. We can look at our pain. We can look at our sin. We can look deeply at God as He changes us. For becoming, we focus up. We focus on God. If you're a part of Sunrise, we are a God-oriented people. We are all about God. That is number one. We want to look up at God and what He's doing to change us day by day. We're not just believers standing ruggedly on conviction, though we have those, but we are becomers being molded like pots of clay in the gracious, loving hands of Jesus Christ. But we don't do that alone. We belong together. God himself lives in community. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they indwell one another and they've never had a conflict. It's amazing. Over 50 times in the New Testament, believers are challenged to respect one another, to serve one another, to forgive one another, to love one another. That's the job of belonging. To belong, we focus in on something. It's so much bigger than any of our individual lives. It's the church. We are something together. The church, the greatest force for good on the planet. Christ in you and me is the hope of glory. Friends, if you'll do just those two things, if you'll focus deeply on God, if you'll focus deeply on his people, you're going to be blessed. If you have a young family here, what's going to happen? Your kids are going to be exposed to the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ through the ministry of Pastor Kim and the way she can challenge and help you do things at home. Your kids will encounter Jesus Christ. They're going to be challenged. It might be in a small group. They're going to be led. They're going to be discipled. You and your family, your young people with Pastor Cliff's ministry and student ministries, high schoolers and young adults, challenged, going to Hume and radical discipleship in small groups, exposed to our new junior high ministry director, Nolan Pierce, so excited about him and Anna getting married in May. Pastor Greg and his vision for adult ministries here, life groups and community groups and adult Christian education classes and all these things that he is working on. And then the kind of worship that Pastor Steve and Pastor Rachel lead us into. You are going to be blessed, and then we are going to grab one another by the shoulder and look each other in the eye and say, give it away. We don't exist to be just blessed, but to bless other people. As we talk about bless, it's focusing out. It's thinking carefully and consistently about our community and about our world, having an outlet for the things that God does in our lives. Now, friends, I want to show you this today in two simple Bible verses. If you're kind of new to the Bible, the whole Bible either points to Jesus Christ or emanates from Jesus' life. And at the center of all of that are four biographies of Jesus. They're called the Gospels. They're written by different people to different audiences at slightly different times. But they agree on one thing. They end all the same way. They all conclude with the same focus. They all talk about Jesus' people being on mission. Here's what it looks like in the Gospel of John. This is verse 20, chapter 20, verse 21. Jesus says, "And peace be with you." See, the thing we know about Jesus is he knew that he was going to die. And so before his death, he was reassuring and comforting his followers. Get this. The guy who was going to die is comforting the people that are going to live. Okay? That's a hint on life with Jesus. When this actually occurs, he has already been killed and resurrected. And he's yet encouraging them and reassuring them once again. And then he gives his followers an assignment. As the Father has sent me. Now, the theme of every gospel is that God sent Jesus into the world. And for most of us that are familiar with church, we could just maybe step right over that. But there's a principle there I don't want us to miss. It's the principle of authorization. What that means is God authorized Jesus to act for him, on his behalf. Jesus on the earth was God acting on the earth. What that means is, in the one sense, in Jesus, in his words and in his deeds, God was actually present on earth. Now here's the plot twist. In just that way, Jesus says, "I'm sending you." Huh? What? Can you imagine the disciples? Still grappling with his death, grappling with his resurrection. You're sending who? These guys that have been divided, discouraged, distracted. Peter went back and fished. Who? Jesus sent his very followers to fulfill his own commission, which is what he received from God the Father. Friends, our mission is a continuation of his. Maybe that's why he was so into giving them peace. We have stepped in. We don't have our own mission. The church doesn't have its own mission. The church has the mission of Jesus Christ, which is the mission that God gave Jesus on earth. It's just an extension. Someone has said, God never gives anyone an easy job. It's kind of curious, isn't it? God is a God of grace. We're saved by pure grace. Our sanctification process has already been begun. We've been given spiritual gifts. Dozens of things already happened at your conversion. It's just amazing. But God does not call us to easy tasks. You think about the life of Abraham and the life of Moses, the life of Joshua, the life of David, the life of Barnabas, and the life of Paul. God does not recruit like your friend from the PTA. He doesn't saddle up to you and say, hey, could you just make a few phone calls about the fundraiser? God's call on your life and mine is intrusive, it is demanding, and it is exhausting. He says the world will be hard and your assignment will be hard. Friends, there is a tremendous purpose behind your life. Your very life is an extension of what Jesus Christ came to do on the earth. Your life matters. How you live the days of your life towards God, towards other believers, but also towards the world. Somebody who understood that very well was Peter. Perhaps more than any other person in the New Testament, Peter's life had been radically redirected by Jesus Christ. 1 Peter is a book that speaks to the purpose of God's people. So if you have a Bible with you, as I hope you do, would you take it out, would you turn to 1 Peter chapter 2? This chapter itself kind of echoes our vision. If you check out verse 1, it says, rid yourselves of all malice, of all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. It's as if Peter is saying, hey, look at your heart. Have an internal life. Be aware of what God's Spirit is doing inside of you. Like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk. Why? So that by it you may grow up in your salvation. He's saying, hey, grow up. Become first century church. Verse 5, it talks about belonging. You also, like living stones, you're being built into a spiritual house. Houses are not made of one thing. They're made of many things coming together. So too the church. But in verse 9, he talks about our common calling to bless. And what he does here is very interesting. He uses titles that have been adapted from the Old Testament. You, he says, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, are a chosen people. So many years earlier, Genesis 12, 2, God spoke to Abraham saying, I'll make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Israel was born to bless God and to bless people. Because of Christ, God's people is made of Jews and Gentiles. Do you know that God chose you? Do you know that God knows you? Do you know that God wants you? You're a royal priesthood. In the Old Testament, there are lots of priests. In the New Testament, every single believer is a priest. You're a priest. And you're a priest. And you're a priest. Priests speak to people for God. Priests can witness. Priests can teach. We do that. You do that. Priests speak to God for people. Priests pray. They intercede. You do that. Jeremiah 29, verse 7, seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Friends, sometimes I worry that in the way we do church, it can kind of look like you got to have it all together to be used by God. You don't. I'll be exhibit A right there. Rick Warren has a great statement. He said, if God used perfect people, nothing would get done. No one would show up. You're never going to hear an announcement at sunrise looking for perfect people because no one would qualify. God will use anybody if you're available. Friends, this is not an issue of competence. This is an issue of willingness. The Bible says you're a priest. If you have the Spirit of God in you and the Word of God in you, you're a minister. You can minister regardless of your age, regardless of your stage, regardless of your status. You're a priest. Are you available? You're a holy nation. Holiness has to do with separation. We're called to reflect the character of our God. Just a chapter earlier, it's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Peter quotes another Old Testament. Be holy because I am holy. Now, any of us could feel, wow, holiness. Whew! Kind of seems like a distant memory in our culture. If you have a TV, if you have a smartphone, how can you expect to be holy today? You know, we don't have to look. We don't have to engage. We've been given the Spirit that stirs our heart. We can say yes and we can say no. We can live above our culture so that we can minister back to our culture in the name of Jesus. And then he says, we're God's special possession. We're an acquired treasure. There's an allusion here to ancient Eastern kings. They used to keep a special, what we would call like an expense account or a slush fund or petty cash. The king would have special funds just for him, apart from the government's fund, special funds that he could use, his special possession. We are like that, God's special possession that he can use. Exodus 19:5, God says to Moses, tell the people, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. God's intention is that we may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Behind that word declare, there's a compound verb. It has a prefix ex, which has to do with out, and angelo comes together, which means proclaim. When verbs are compounded with the prefix ex, it means to intensify the meaning. So here, to proclaim out fully. This proclamation, it's about worship. Genuine worship of God is what motivates us to bless. We gather to worship, but worship is a lifestyle. Worship, what we just experienced, is the fuel of mission. We're not a people who worship God inside the building and then deny him outside the building. We're about worshiping him in all the dimensions of our life by how we live. Isaiah 49:6 says, I will also make you a light for the Gentiles that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. God wants to use his people. The Old Testament teaches that. The New Testament teaches that. And I mention that for one simple reason. Because we tend to drift. Anybody remember Paul Harvey, popular radio commentator? We grew up on an acre of land in Paradise. It's kind of foothills, about 2,000 feet. Lots of pine trees, lots of pine needles, lots of raking in my life growing up. And we put the radio out there, and sometimes we'd listen. In the middle of the day, Paul Harvey would comment with, hello, Americans, get ready for news. And he had that particular voice and a way of doing all that. Well, behind that media personality was a believer in Christ. He said before he died, we've drifted away from being a fishers of men to being keepers of the aquarium. Friends, Sunrise has a beautiful aquarium. But Sunrise is about fishing for men and women and boys and girls that they would follow Jesus Christ. And one of the things I love so much about Sunrise is so many people already get this and are deeply engaged. Just a few examples. Literally 2 weeks ago, Juliana Law stood right here, a young lady in the life of our church who had pretty much adopted a class of girls, freshman girls, and then walked with them as they became sophomores and became juniors and through their senior year, until the point that she was ready to depart to be a career missionary. And we can report that Juliana has now arrived safely and is living in Ukraine. She's begun ministry as part of our team, and she is seeking to be a blessing to young people in that culture today. Isn't that exciting? Praise God for Juliana. Wow. We've been praying for Jason Chappelle and his call to serve in the Philippines. You better hug Chappie pretty quick because he could be gone by this summer. Last Sunday, his support exceeded 100%. Can we praise God for that? Where are you, Chappie? Stand up for a second. He's right here. Love you, man. Last month, seven men from Sunrise traveled to Uganda to minister with believers there. And if you haven't been to Africa, I just have to take a moment to tell you, it's a different neighborhood. Ugandan people live on about $2 a day. That includes people that live in the capital city, which has high rises and all those fancy things. If you're out in the village, if you've driven half a day or a day into the countryside, the folks there are living on much less than $2 a day. The average woman in Uganda has 6 children. Northern Uganda, where we're working, is a part of the world that has seen trouble. Potable water, clean water, is a basic need. That's an image of one water source that we came across, and some of the guys living in that neighborhood. We can see that next slide. How would you feel? How would you think about asking your wife or your children to drink their water from that source? Hal Hansen is a part of our church, and he's designed a method for creating borehole wells. It starts with an auger, and I didn't really know very much about this before I went, so if I can figure it out and help, probably anybody can. An auger is this thing right on the tip. It's hollow. It's got kind of a blade. It looks a little bit like your blender or so. And guys like Hal and Tim Crummett that know a bit more about this, they'll find a spot and just put this thing down, and you begin to twist it like this. And if we did this long enough, we'd drill a hole in the platform. Wouldn't that be fun? You drill this down, and we hit water one time at about 15 feet. One time it took about half a day to hit water. Sometimes we miss water. Sometimes you hit rocks or you hit really thick clay. It goes really slow. Sometimes you have to start your hole all over again. But at least in one time, we got water at 15 feet in about half a day. As you can see some of the drilling going on there. And I think if we go to the next slide, that's kind of getting some of the mud and gunk out of the auger. There's a bigger auger that you use once you've actually hit water to kind of make it wide enough for the tubing to go down. See that next slide, guys? There's Tim inserting, that's actually the shaft of the well, and it's got slits in it and gravel around it so it actually purifies the water. And then with about another half a day of work, you put on the wellhead, which you see on the platform here, and a bit of that cement and masonry work, and there's fresh, clean drinking water where there wasn't before. Let me just speak to you personally about this. I love God, I love people, I love being a pastor. But the work of a pastor has a fuzzy bottom line. People are wiggly, I'm wiggly. It's kind of 3 steps forward, 1 step back sometimes. When you pull into a community that doesn't have clean drinking water, where people are getting sick by quenching their thirst, where girls, and it is girls especially, are carrying tens of pounds of water on their head, walking long distances, and in maybe 2 days, you can help them. For $700, that's kind of what a well costs, something like that. You can help them get clean water. You drive out of there thinking, maybe that mattered. Maybe that made a difference for people. We're called to bless. We also did some other work during this trip. We supported a youth conference by speaking. It's a great shot of, that's Dawson and Noah. Mark Bennett gave a great message. Leading games, that's Mark with one of the interpreters there. Paul Swanson hanging out with some of the kids at the youth conference. And delivering 200 Bibles that were donated by our high school students and by their families. If you are a part of that, I think we carried 218 Bibles over there. Friends, those Bibles matter. If you're living on $2 a day, you might just never get enough money together at one time to actually buy your own Bible. Having your own Bible really matters. So many of us probably have one or more Bibles. That's something we can learn to not take for granted. We joined a Ugandan team showing the Jesus film in a village. People walked and then stood for the duration of the movie. And then 20 of those people responded to the gospel invitation, and their names were written down and given to a local pastor. A woman came to Christ in a market when we were looking for gifts. A man came to Christ at church. It's a spiritually open environment. But friends, all of this ministry kind of has a taproot. It kind of goes back to the ministry of a man named Dick Otto. Dick has been a missionary in Uganda for 35 years. And Dick did a lot of things in 35 years, but if he were here, I'm pretty confident he would say that mainly he discipled men. When we go to Uganda, we stand on his shoulders. His ministry continues through his friend Hal Hansen. and groups of Ugandan believers like these guys who are experiencing some of the joy of commissioning a new well for a new community. And through teams from Sunrise, like these guys right here, we call that three goats and a sheep right there. I actually thought that animal was a goat at first because it's kind of dark, but it turns out it's a sheep. And that was a gift from a very poor community to our team for giving them a well. It's hard to bring a sheep back on the plane. So we re-gifted. We gave that sheep to a pastor. His name is Timothy, and you'll hear about him in just a moment. Friends, we intended to bless others, and we tried. But we came back blessed. I'd like to show you a 5-minute video so that some of the members of our team can tell you their stories. Would you take a look at the screens?
Hal Hansen, part of the Uganda team in 2015. The transforming power of God's Word. You know, we've got this working with a couple of different church associations, and one is probably 10 or 15 years ahead of the other one. And just seeing the difference in the churches, in leaders, in their development, in their love for Christ, because of local Bible schools and sending some guys to a seminary in the southern part of the country as well. All of a sudden that seemed to click on the difference of the associations and why one was so much further ahead than the other.
My name is Mark Bennett. I have been at Sunrise since 1985. This was my fourth trip to Uganda as part of a team. It was great being back, getting to visit with some friends, catch up with them, just continue walking forward with them in life. Each trip is a little bit different, and this one again was different. I had the privilege of taking my son Dawson. It was his first time there. It was just a blast for both of us. It was an awesome experience. It was fun watching him engage people, engage my friends on his own. He stepped into their world. That was cool getting to watch. Remembering the day that Dawson and Noah got to hand out Bibles to the youth at the youth conference that they got to be a part of, and watching their faces, knowing that our kids here had contributed and children had contributed to give those Bibles there. There's such great need in people's lives, and yet there's an amazing joy and peace that comes from God. They have a faith that often we don't see here. It's just each interchange is an amazing gift. It's a blessing.
Hi, my name is Dawson. I've been to this church all my life. I'm a senior at Bella Vista. And I went to Uganda with the team this 2015, this year, January. And something that really impacted me was the children over there. They have absolutely nothing. And then they're still joyful. When you see people over here, they have a lot of things and they're still not joyful. They just want more. So those little kids that have nothing are like still joyful. So it impacts me and tells me like that I need to be more blessed with my life because I have a lot more than they do.
Hi, I'm Noah Zand. Some things I learned in Uganda over the mission trip that I just went on were some lessons about adversity and just overcoming adversity. We met three really interesting people while we were there, and each of them had this kind of amazing story of coming back from some great hardship and then kind of through faith in God and just trusting in the Lord, they were able to get through that, and then they're in a much better situation now through that. So that that really just taught me to never be down on my circumstances and just kind of see things as that things can always get better. And we met one guy in particular who was an orphan, and he had to pay his school pretty much his entire way. So he'd have to work in a kitchen and then pay for his school through that. And so that just kind of opened my eyes to how blessed we are here having free education and having the opportunity to go to college. So that was a little bit about my experience. Thank you.
Okay, my name is Paul Swanson. The very first pastor, of which we met several, his name was Timothy. Timothy had just moved into a new community. He'd been in this village for just 3 weeks. He had four of his own children, seven other dependents, orphans that came from other families or friends or acquaintances. His youngest child, who was 6 months old, his wife died giving birth to that child. So Timothy was caring for basically 11 kids, 11 mouths to feed. He was a new pastor in a new community. He was teaching at seminary, making $100 a month, teaching at seminary. And along with all those things, Timothy was trying to get established in the community by building his own home. I just have been impressed in many ways about God's goodness to people like Timothy who become a magnet in the community because they're Christian.
Can we praise God for his work and some of these guys? I want to thank each one of our donors, including the children's ministry and an 8 or 9 year old girl in our church whose mother brought her forward just before we left, who took the initiative and raised $49 for our team to go. There's a spirit of blessing others going through our church. Friends, the truth is we seek to bless others. There is an arrow going out. We meant to do good, but there is an arrow coming back. And that arrow is much bigger. We end up being served. What God is doing in Uganda is not just about bringing water out of the ground. It's about bringing living water, Jesus Christ, into people's lives in Uganda and even into our own lives. Maybe you'd be interested in a future Uganda team. If so, you can talk to Hal Hansen. And I have to tell you that probably for all of us, returning from that very open spiritual environment to our own culture, with all of its challenges on the inside and its challenges on the outside, it's impossible to not make some comparisons. Philip Jenkins is a historian who teaches at Baylor University. He says, around the world, Christianity is flourishing wonderfully among the poor and the persecuted, while it atrophies among the rich and the secure. Friends, God has called Sunrise Community Church to buck that trend. Someone who knows all about that is my friend Nate Pels. Nate, would you join me on the platform? Yeah. Nate grew up here in Citrus Heights, went to Casa Roble High School, right?
Yep.
God bless you. Went to Biola, and tell us, where are you living most of the time these days before you came back?
Well, we've been for about the last 5 years in the Middle East, in the Arab world, and are back right now. We've been working in the capital of Jordan, and are back here.
And you have a new ministry sort of that you're aiming for. You're hoping to move to a new area. Tell us a little bit about that when you get back to Jordan.
Yeah, we're on a furlough right now for a number of different reasons. We really are excited to work with you guys and excited that God is moving in Sunrise and we can participate with what you guys are doing here. We're really aiming over the next year to kind of rebuild a support base, prayer support mainly, and move back to the Middle East and hopefully initiate an outreach program in the Dead Sea Mountains in the biblical land of Moab and try to reach Muslims for Christ there.
Nate had the good fortune of marrying Gra, and they have Ruth and Sarah, two beautiful young girls. And I'm just so delighted that they're going to be a part of our church here at Sunrise for all of 2015. And so they're ongoing as missionaries, but we've actually hired Nate part-time as a mission coordinator. So we work together. And one of the things that Nate's really working at is helping some of our volunteer leaders do mission work right here, right in our very own community, in our very own zip code. And you and I have talked a little bit about our whole vision, and you have some insights about how those three B's kind of work together. Tell us your perspective.
I've been thinking a lot about this. My wife and I have led our mission team for a couple of years now, and so we've had to really take on board a lot of this stuff already. But what the vision of Sunrise really expresses, become, belong, and bless, it's a really simple way of talking about the aspects of our Christian lives and our faith have to be, all three aspects have to be alive in our lives. It's like a stool that has three legs. They have two-legged stools and one-leg stools, but you only get to rest on a three-legged stool, right? Those of you who don't actively bless, really your lives, though it seems ironic, your Christian life is a lot harder than if you get to participate in blessing people, because it's the Christian life is it's a cyclical thing. This become, belong, and bless. As you become like Christ, more like Christ, you're changed from the inside out, and then you go into your believing community and you're able to grow with them. And you're launched out into blessing other people. And as you're challenged and you're blessed by going out and blessing other people, then you have to come back to become more like Christ. Because a lot of times the things that you face when you're challenging people, they're going to challenge you back. And you've got to go deeper in the Word. You've got to go deeper in prayer. You've got to depend more upon God. When you take out the blessed part of this vision and you just becoming and belonging, you become very self-focused. You become selfish. You become more intellectual than practical. You can't relate to people as easily. So we have to have all three. We're going to grow, and actually our lives are going to be more restful, more joyful, more exciting, because we're depending upon the Lord for the things that maybe we're not so good at.
Nate, I think you're absolutely right. Become, belong, and bless are interdependent. When we lean into one, God blesses us in a way that expands our capacity in the other areas. I'm so glad you're going to be here. And I would just commend Nate and Grah to you. They're going to be available in the foyer today. Ask them more about their work in Jordan. Ask them more about the things going on right here at Sunrise. Let's pray for them. God, we love you. We thank you for what you're doing in Nate. God, we just pray that they would really have a deep sense of belonging here at Sunrise, that we could just help fill up their tanks and just be a blessing to them. And Lord, I pray that your call on Nate's life would rub off on me and on others as we think about better ways to even love our neighbors right here. And we pray you'd get much glory from all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.